It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is my spirit dad, Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you doing this morning?
Ding, 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 ding. I'm going to come out of the corner.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Where's your gloves?
Where's he at? Where's he at? You know, that's what it sounds like. We're getting ready. We're getting ready to have a fight. Right. And we're going to definitely beat the devil up today because we're going to share God's word.
Amen.
And we're going to pray and get some results.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can post that to our Facebook page. We have not got our email set up yet, but we will do that shortly. Shortly. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries. I had to think about it for a second. They're located here in Elk City. Would you please pray to start us out?
I will. Gracious Heavenly Father, this morning as we come before you, we're thankful for this time, this ministry. We're thankful, Father, that you have raised this ministry up. You have protected it throughout the years, even through many different changes and different things. Father, you've always had your hand upon this Hour of Power. Father, we thank you for the lives that have been changed by this program. We thank you for lives being changed today, Father God. And we pray that you would draw listeners, Father God, and those who are joining us, Father, that maybe you put someone on their heart that they would reach out to and just encourage them to invite someone, Father, so that they would not miss out. Father, you know what you have deposited in my heart today, Father, and it is our goal, our desire, that your will be done here in this place today, that the words that are spoken will not just be our words, but your words. And that, Father, your life-transforming words would make a difference in the lives of our listeners today and in us here in this room. So, Father, we open our hearts, open our ears, we open our eyes to your will, your word, and your ways. We ask your blessing upon this program in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Unzip it. Hour of Power. You know what I was just feeling prompted that I want to go back to prayer before we get into word, and I want to pray about some specific needs. You know, as a pastor, when I come to the Hour of Power, very rarely do I share prayer needs directly from our congregation, because if every pastor came in here and says, oh, we need prayer requests, here you go, here's your list, you know. I mean, every pastor could do that, and I always kind of feel like this. I'll pray if the Lord's prompting me to pray about things that are going on. I kind of want to reserve this time to a certain degree for those who are going to send us their prayer requests specifically for this program. But I do want to bring a few things before the Lord this morning and ask you to join your faith with ours. There's a dear lady in the congregation. She hasn't gotten to be there in a while, but Tanya Miller and her daughter Ashley has had some situations where she's needed physical healing as well as healing in other areas of her life. And then daughter-in-law Jody Miller. Jody's been diagnosed with cervical cancer. Had a pretty good-sized tumor, I understand, some bleeding. And my heart just really goes out to this whole family. It feels like sometimes it can feel like you're just getting hit from every side. And so I would definitely want to pray for this family this morning, the individuals that I mentioned, and even others that I didn't mention, Jody's husband, Jeremy. And when they lived in Burns Flat, boy, they were with us every time the doors are open, and I miss having them there. I pray to God someday that his will, that maybe they could find their way back to Burns Flat and find their way back in with us and be there. My heart goes out to my dear sister in the Lord, Marisa Marjoram. She battles against cancer and she is fighting a good fight of faith. She was actually able to be with us Sunday during the service. She's in the midst of treatments, and I don't know all the details about all that stuff, but I do know this. I know the Lord, the Holy Spirit, kept telling me over and over and over just to tell her this: you're doing great. You're doing great. Just one foot in front of the other. Your faith is working. You're doing great. And she has got some praise reports already about details about her healing, and we are just believing. And of course, Neva might not know this, but you know, her and Joe are pretty near and dear to my heart, and I've been praying for them and standing in faith, and I know that God is working a good work in this. I think, first of all, I just want to give God praise for the work that he's worked in your spiritual life. Not that your spiritual life was lacking, but every one of our spiritual lives can get better. And sometimes when we're going through challenges, that's when we really draw in on some things, and it can really be a, it can be a, God can take what is a cursing, and he can bring blessing, because cancer is a curse. God don't put cancer on people. God is not the author of sickness. God don't put cancer on people. But when cancer attacks people, God is, I mean, I believe the Lord is like, he's just right there, and he's going, please, just open up to me. Open up to me. I got things I want to do in you and for you and through you and to you. And he just draws near. You know, the Bible says that a broken heart is a sweet sacrifice to God. So when we feel broken, when we feel overwhelmed, we're going to God. He is closer. It's not that really that he's closer. It's that we're more open. That's really what the deal is. We're not so caught up in our own stuff and doing so fine. We're aware of how much we need him. And I'm going to give you a big secret before we get in the word, before we pray about these things. If you'll stay aware of how much you need God and don't let yourself become comfortable, you'll do better. You'll enjoy more and more and more the presence of God. You know, I hesitate to use this, but there's this stupid beer commercial where this old guy had a gray beard or whatever, and he goes, "I don't always drink water, but when I, you know," but the phrase from that stupid beer commercial, it just catches me. It says, "Stay thirsty, my friend." And I think in spiritual terms, that's what we need to be doing, is staying thirsty. And you know, these prayer requests that I've mentioned, when we're going through things, that's what that's doing, is it's literally creating in us a thirst for the things of God. We realize how desperately we do need him. And so I just want to say this, my friends, stay thirsty today. And if you've got needs in your life, please get your prayer request to us, so that when we come to that mid-break, I promise you this, we will release our faith in line with the word of God, believe in God to bring forth answers into your life. So get those prayer requests to us so we can do. That's what this whole program was birthed out of. You know, if you know me, if you've ever heard me, you know, God has called me and anointed me to teach from his word and to share truths from his word. And that's what I love to do. I like to eat, but I'd rather preach than eat. You know, I'm serious. There's nothing I like better than sharing God's word. But at the same time, this program was birthed not just as a place that we could tune in and get teaching, but as a place that we could come together and bring forth prayer together and get results and get on and honor you, Heavenly Father. Amen. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we do come before you this morning, I'm mindful, I'm thankful, Father, that through Jesus Christ, you provided a way that we here in the physical realm of this earth could tap into the resources of the spiritual kingdom of heaven. It's through our blood covenant with Jesus that we approach the throne of grace, as your word calls it, throne of grace. And your Bible, your word, Father God, declares that there at the throne of grace we can find help in our time of need. Father, there are times we need you, and there are times we really need you. And Father, these that I've mentioned, for Ashley, for Jody, for Jeremy, for Tanya, for Marisa, for Joe and Neva, Father God, and I could go on and on. You know, for my friend Brian Stewart, who's in the hospital at OU Medical Center, as far as I know, he's still there. Father, for those who are in a hospital, I think about those who have COVID and they're in the hospital, or they have complications with COVID or with flu or something else going on in their bodies. Father, I thank you and I praise you that we can as believers in the Lord, approach your throne of grace. So today we do that, and we ask for grace to flow freely to these that were mentioned. I ask that grace, Lord God, would appear in them hearing your voice. Your word declares that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the revelation word, the rhema word of God. And I'm asking you to speak today to those that we're mentioning in prayer. Speak to their hearts in such a way that they get a clear and precise word from you that makes everything different. Everything different. Just like in the boat, in the storm, Jesus, you stood up and you spoke peace and everything got different. One word from you, Jesus. And I pray that you give us ears to hear it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Sometimes what we think, well, I need God to come. I need God to do this for me. I need God to do that for me. I need God to do this for me. The truth of the matter is, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, he's given us everything. If you look at, God's not withholding. So I need healing. Oh, God, I need God to heal me today. God has healed you. He did it when Jesus hung on the cross. He did it before Jesus hung on the cross, actually, when he allowed himself to be subject to the whipping post. And they, with what's called a cat of nine tails, a whip with nine braids in it, with pieces of bone or metal in it, would literally rip out flesh. When Jesus subjected himself to that cruel whip, every time that whip hit his body and tore his flesh and released his blood, that was a part of the covenant of God paying for your healing. Your healing, physically, of course, spiritually, that's the most important part. Emotionally, that's important also. Every way that you can be healed, Jesus was paying for it. It as if this, I know that at times when I grew up in a generation when my dad, my mom didn't know which one of the siblings did the thing. Everybody just got whipped. And there were times where my brother was getting a whipping that he didn't deserve. But there were also times where I was getting one that I didn't deserve. But the difference between me and Jesus, I wasn't doing it willingly. Jesus didn't deserve those stripes. He didn't deserve the cross. He lived a perfect, sinless life, fully in submission to the will of the Heavenly Father from day one, from minute one, throughout his life. He remained perfect because he knew from even as a child at 12 years old, when he went off from his parents who were in Jerusalem for the Passover, he went off from his parents and he was in the temple and he was sharing wisdom with the priests that they were marveling at. And when his parents finally noticed he's gone, I'm thinking, wow, what kind of parents? Anyway, and when they notice he's gone and then they come back in, it's like, you lost Jesus? You know, he's in the temple. And, man, they were worried about him. I would be, too, if I lost the Son of God. They were worried about him, and they find him in the temple. And he's teaching the priests, and I'm sure they marveled also. And he said, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? I'm in my Father's house. At 12 years old, Jesus was 100% completely fully aware of his purpose on earth. I believe he knew it long before then. But at 12, we have evidence from the scripture that Jesus was aware of what his mission on earth was. And there's no doubt in my mind that when he said this, he said, no man takes my life from me. He said, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies and it's buried or planted, it'll produce much fruit. And he was speaking about himself and speaking about his death and his body being given for us. There's no doubt in my mind that Jesus willfully decided, purposefully, that he would subject himself to that cruel whip. And the only evidence you can find in the scripture, why was he whipped? Why when they tried to stone him to death, were they not able to do it? You say, well, they tried to stone Jesus to death? Well, yeah, you read the Gospels. Numerous times the Jews took up stones to stone him, but he just walked through the crowd and disappeared on them. Or they take him to the edge of a cliff one day, and they've considered what he said to be blasphemy because they didn't know who he was. And they're going to throw him off a cliff, but he just turns around and walks through the crowd. I can almost imagine people just kind of, for completely unexplainable reason. They don't know why, but they're just backing up away from him, and he's just or maybe they're getting laid out. I don't know. It doesn't say in the Bible how he walked through the midst of the crowd, but no one laid a hand on him. He just, one second they're going to kill him, they're going to throw him off the cliff, they're going to stone him to death, and the next second he's just walking off. And you see, well, why is that? Because it was ordained from before the foundation of the world that Jesus would be the Lamb of God slain for our sins. And he took that, I'm saying all this for a reason, he took those stripes purposefully. It wasn't just part of the crucifixion. And why did God choose the cross? Because Galatians 3 tells us why. It says, cursed is he who's hung on a cross. Jesus became a curse for us that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us. Galatians 3:13, if you need to look at it. Jesus became a curse. He took that whipping and he hung on that cross and he took all the stuff so that you and I could have what God wanted us to have. Before Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, there was no sickness. Sickness is part of the curse that sin brought into the world. You and I are attacked by sickness because of sin. Sometimes we sin, and we live in sin at times when, before we know Jesus. We live in sin, and it literally causes physical problems in our body. But not every sickness is caused by my own or your own direct sin, but it is all caused by sin. And what is the cure for sin? There's only one. Jesus is the cure for sin. So I'd say this to you today, if you're being attacked, if you're being afflicted, especially in your physical body, if there is and I love to think about this, if there is a diagnosis of your body, like they've said, well, you got prostate cancer, or you've got ovarian cancer, or you've got this, that, you've got this, they put a name on it. I like it when they put a name on it. You want to know why? Go over to Philippians. The book of Philippians, I'm just going to follow the Holy Spirit's leading here. I got other notes to go a different direction, but I'm going to follow the leading of the Lord. In the book of Philippians, I believe it's the second chapter. Let's find it and we'll see. Philippians, let's look at the second chapter and see this is where it's at. Yes, it is. Second chapter of Philippians, let's look at verse 5. Philippians 2:5. Bless the reading of your word, Father. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Now, what attitude about Jesus should my attitude be the same? Being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to grasp, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient. That's the attitude that we want to have that Jesus had, that I humble myself and I become obedient to what God tells me. It says he humbled himself and he became obedient. Became, did you hear that? He became obedient. He could have said he remained obedient, but the reason why it says it, he became, he had to make the choice. God did not just override Jesus's want to. His desires. We can see evidence of a battle between Jesus's humanity and his purpose from God the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane on the night of his betrayal when he prays, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, what did he say? You know it. Not my will, but your will be done. In other words, Jesus is going, my will and your will are not the same. Maybe you need to chew on that. Maybe you can't imagine Jesus wanting something that Father God doesn't want. But if you think that Jesus couldn't want something that Father God didn't want him to want, you need to go back and read. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I'm not trying to be rude. But you just need to read the Bible and realize Jesus, in Hebrews, it says he was tempted in every way, even as we are. Do you believe what the Bible says? Yeah, well, then you must believe that Jesus was tempted to do things his own way, to take the shortcut, to try to take the easy route, to give in to the flesh. But here's what it says at the end of that verse. He was tempted in every way, even as we are, but yet he was without sin. He never gave in to that temptation. He was tempted, but he didn't give in. So when he came and he humbled himself, back in our text in Philippians 2, he humbled himself and became obedient, or remained obedient, or submitted even to death on the cross, which was the most humiliating, not to mention painful, but humiliating form of punishment the Romans had at the time. And so look what is the result. He humbled himself and became obedient to the death on the cross. Verse 9, first word, therefore, what's that therefore? To tell me what I'm about to read is inseparably linked to what I just did read. Because Jesus surrendered to his death on the cross, therefore, God exalted him and to the highest place. What's higher than Jesus? Nothing. In the spirit realm, there is nothing, even God himself, Father God, is not higher than Jesus. Boy, some people have this picture of the triune, Trinity of God as this. Now, if you can't see me and you're listening, I say, here's God the Father, and he's up here on the top, you know, and he's out of throne that's up here. And then just a hair, just a little bit lower, here's a little bit smaller throne, and Jesus is sitting on that. And then there's not even really a throne for the Holy Spirit, because he doesn't really need one. But if he had one, it'd be a little smaller and it's down here. That's not true at all. In the throne of God, God is not separated like that any more than I pick up one of those little round white things that you eat for breakfast. What's that? Oh, yeah, that egg. Well, when I look at the outside part, when I see the outside part, do I see the entire egg? No, but I'm looking at the entire egg. I just don't see the entire egg. What do I see? I see the shell. When Jesus walked on the earth, he was the visible representation of God the Father. But there's three parts to God, just like there's three parts to an egg. If I have a shell, I don't have the whole egg. If I have a yolk, I don't have the whole egg. If I have a white, I don't have the whole egg. If I have all three parts, I got the whole egg. And when I look at the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I'm looking at the wholeness, the unity of God Almighty. Well, Jesus is seated because he humbled himself and became obedient to death on the cross. He is seated in the highest place. He is in the highest. He is equal now with God the Father. Equal with God the Father. And then he sent his Holy Spirit, which when Jesus said, I will send you another comforter, the word another means one just exactly like me. The Holy Spirit's exactly like Jesus. He's not Casper the Friendly Ghost. He is literally Jesus, who is God, in spiritual form so that he can indwell us. Jesus was given a position to in the highest place. He's higher than the government. I mean, well, duh. You know, golly, of course Jesus is higher than the government. Really? Do you act like Jesus is higher than the government? Oops. Ouch. Oops. Do you get afraid when governments don't, when like our government here in the U.S., when they don't do what you think they ought to do? Does that cause you fear? Do you not realize that Jesus is higher than the government? You say, I'm concerned about this, and I'm concerned about that. Do you not realize Jesus is higher than that, whatever that is? And then going back to our topic of sickness there, don't miss out on this. Jesus, I don't care what it is, if it has a name, if it's a diagnosis and it has a name, watch. Because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient even to the death on the cross, therefore God exalted him and gave him the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Does cancer have a name? Yeah, cancer got all kind of names. They got every kind of name. We all just call it cancer because we can't spell or pronounce all them other ones, you know. But if it has a name, and cancer does have a name, and they've gave a name to the China virus that COVID, you know, they gave it several names. SARS virus number 2, da da da, COVID, whatever. It doesn't matter. They gave it a name. It has a name. And I say this, the name of Jesus is so far above that name that name, whatever that sickness, that disease, that thing is, poverty is a name, lack is a name, depression is a name, discouragement is a name. I don't care what it is, you can name. If it's attacking you, if it's opposed to the will of God, Jesus has been given a name above that name. Now, here's the question. Have you taken the name of Jesus? On June 22nd, 1982, Sharon Morgan walked into a little Methodist church in Rapa, Oklahoma, and met there a guy named Dwight Shepherd. And Sharon Morgan's never been seen since then. She just disappeared. But Sharon Shepherd walked out of that church. She was given a new name. And she likes that name. Well, most of the time. She likes that name. Here we are almost 40 years later, and she likes that name. You know, that name has transformed her identity. Now, you've been given a name, Jesus. Jesus gave you his name. Whether you're a man or a woman, you're the bride of Christ. And for me, that's a man, that's weird. But for you ladies, I know it's like, yes, you know. You know, Neva stuck with Joe because she chose him, but ultimately Jesus is her husband. And I think Joe would certainly have it that way because Jesus is the only one who can straighten her out. So Jesus was given a name that's above every name. Amen. I receive that. So when I'm praying and I'm saying, in the name of Jesus, what am I actually saying? I'm not using some magic phrase like abracadabra. If I'm not in Jesus, then I can say it all I want, but it's not going to have any power. But if I'm in Jesus, I'm reminding, when I say in Jesus' name, cancer be gone. What I'm saying is, because of this right here, because of what I'm reading, because Jesus humbled himself and became obedient, even to the death on the cross, there was given to him the highest place, authority and power. And he was given a name that's above every name. And because of that, in that name that's above every name, I'm coming to rebuke cancer. I'm coming to rebuke depression. I'm coming to rebuke unforgiveness. Some people are convinced they can't forgive. They're so deeply hurt, they are convinced they can't forgive. And sometimes they're afraid to forgive because they feel like if they forgive, that the person who did whatever it was is going to get away with it. And I want to just dispel a lie right now. Nobody is going to get away with anything. Even if they're in Washington, D.C. Every corruption, every lie, every deception, God is keeping a record. He's keeping a record. And at the end, when that person stands before God, if all of that record is not expunged and done away with by the person's faith in Jesus, which would be accompanied with true heartfelt repentance. You see, you don't just go, well, I believe in Jesus. Now, you're still a murderer in your heart. You still hate and whatever else. You're going to stand before God. God's going to look at your heart. He's not just going to listen to your lips. Jesus in Matthew 7 said that on that day, the judgment day, that he said, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord. And then they'll start talking about all the things they did. And he'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me. I don't have an intimate covenant relationship with you. It's what he says he's going to say to people. It's not just using the name of Jesus like it's some sort of a magic wand. This ain't Disney. But if I'm in Jesus, then when he was exalted to the highest place, we are exalted with him. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. So I say to you today and to me today, whatever it is that is going on in your life, that is, it's not God. Whatever it is, if it's not God, it's not coming from God. If it's a sickness, a disease, an emotional battle coming against you, a spiritual battle coming against you, whatever it is, Jesus is Lord over that. Remember that word God gave me, Monica? Monica knows I was really troubled as pastor. I was in the church and I had so many people going through things. And even myself, I'm not immune from attack. I like to wear my spiritual armor. But I'll tell you something about your spiritual armor. It'll protect you in an attack. It doesn't protect you from an attack. That may not mean nothing to you, but it meant something to me. Because it's like, well, I'm doing everything I know I'm supposed to do. Why am I being attacked? Because you're doing everything you're supposed to do. That's why. But in the attack, you win. I mean, you think about it. Think about it. If you're seated in the position of power because of who you are in Christ and the enemy attacks you, he came to receive his defeat. That's what happened. He came to the Lord has lured the enemy to, I better rephrase that. The Lord didn't lure the enemy to attack you. It's not the Lord provoking the enemy to do you evil. But when the enemy's hatred towards you provokes him to attack you and his hatred towards God provokes him to attack you, the Lord is allowing it to happen because he knows he has empowered you for victory. You're not defending yourself from a place of Satan is not equal with you, Christian, born-again Christian. Now, if you're not a born-again Christian, Satan is your Lord. If you're not a born-again Christian, Satan is your Lord, and he will use you, abuse you, and murder you. But if Jesus is your Lord, Satan is under your feet. And don't give him an equal playing field because he's under your feet. When he comes to attack you, he comes to receive his defeat. He does not come to overpower you if you know who you are. And you and I know who I am. I got to stand up for my rights. You know, like here in America and even in Canada, you know, people are standing up for their rights because they know who they are. And they're refusing to just roll over and let stuff happen. Well, that's how we have to be in the realm of the Spirit. And the way we do that more often than not is we rise up in prayer. But we also just, it's not always about prayer. Sometimes it's just about your attitude and your words. And so we'll come back to our topic of don't miss out on what God has for you. We're going to pray. We're going to take care of some business here. And you get your prayer request to us if you haven't already.